may be seated. Before Deacon Jeffrey Seraphine gets a message this morning, I would just like to remind everyone what is happening in our worship. I see we have some visitors with us this morning. There are basically, remember, three parts to our liturgical service. The first part most people are not aware of, they're not here. And that is when the priest and deacon prepare the Eucharist back in the corner here at the preparation table. And then we enter into this part of our worship where most people are here for the Divine Liturgy. Actually, we have a Mass service before that. The Divine Liturgy starts, and that is divided into two basic parts. And the first part is the liturgy of the Word of God. And you notice we had this little entrance, and the entrance is with the Gospel book, with the Word of God. And we in the Orthodox Church can't do anything without having a little pomp and circumstance and celebration. This is God's Word, so we do this entrance. And then before the scripture is read, you notice that Deacon Jeffrey goes around and he senses around the altar. He's sensing the altar book. He's sensing the Gospel book. That's the center right now of this part of the worship service, is the Gospel book. Jesus can speak to us through the written word, through the Gospel. And later, after the Gospel is read and preached, then we enter upon the second part, the third part of the whole service, which is the second part of the Divine Liturgy. And that is the liturgy of the sacrament. That is the liturgy of the body and blood of Christ. And we're going to have another entrance. The Eucharistic gifts, the body and blood. We're going to have the bread and the wine be brought in, which become the body and blood for us, for our salvation. And that again, we do it with pomp and circumstance. We do it with a great entrance of celebration. And we sense the gifts. We sense around the altar again. But that part is the Word of God by the body and blood of Christ. So the whole service is centered on worshiping and glorifying God in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But I just wanted to point out, and you know, whenever I do this, I always find that there's some Orthodox, that's right, I really forgot about that, or I wasn't aware of that. So we didn't do it just for you. I'm reminding all of us how beautiful our services are designed and how they all center on, not how we feel, they center on glorifying God and listening to Him, being fed by Him through the written word, the preached word, and then through the body and blood of Christ. The Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Christ is risen.
Truly is risen.
Christ is risen.
Truly is risen.
Christ is risen.
Truly is risen.
I'm just going to kind of build a little bit upon what Father just said. We can't help but celebrate because of what we just declared. We've just celebrated this greatest festival of the year, that Christ is risen and all things are made new through Him. And our gospel this morning is just a testimony to that power of our risen Christ. St. Boniface, he was the companion of St. Willibrord. He was the German missionary, and St. Willibrord was, of course, to the Frisians and the Dutch. But St. Boniface said, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, this story of the paralytic really is the gospel of the resurrection for the common man. Mm-hmm. It is the story brought into our midst. You heard it this morning. You heard, if you listened to the reading before, the epistle lesson, it was a healing story, wasn't it? The healing of Peter, of that child. The church has been given a power in the resurrection of Christ. It is not just Christ who heals. It is not just Christ who is raised from the dead. All of us have the power of resurrection given to us. And this beautiful story this day, this is probably my favorite story in the Gospel of John, the story of the paralytic, shows the power that has been given to the church and to all of us in Christ. So I'd just like to just briefly go through this gospel again and look at some of the beautiful symbolism and power that's in it. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem to celebrate that feast. St. John Chrysostom writes that this feast was Pentecost. We're getting ready for Pentecost now. We have celebrated the resurrection of Christ. We are halfway to that point of Pentecost. And of course, Pentecost, that day when the Holy Spirit was poured out and fulfills, it is the crown of everything Christ has done. And we're getting ready to celebrate that feast that Jesus was going to celebrate this day when this miracle took place. Now, there was in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticos. Now, very important here. First of all, it's called the sheep's gate. And as I was studying the homiletic notes this week for this. Now, this was an important thing. The sheep's gate was the place where the sheep, the lambs that would be sacrificed in the temple for the worship of God's people, were purified. They were brought and purified by the water in this pool. I never knew this. It was come out as I was reading some of the fathers. It was called Bethesda in the Hebrew. And it had five porticos. Now, what's interesting is the fathers of the church say this about the five porticos. They point to the five books of Torah. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Saying it was the word, the law of God. This was the portico under which the people of God, the Hebrew people, sojourned. They rested under it. They waited under it for something greater to come. The law of God was not yet the full healing that would come for the people. It was a porch to wait under. Going on. Under these portico porches, there lay a great multitude of sick people. Blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water, for an angel of God would come down at a certain time into the pool and stir up the water, and whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. There was a certain man who had an infirmity for 38 years. How many of us have been sick this past season, this great flu season? Anybody here? I have. 1 month, I'm just still getting over this cough. You know, Father, you know, Father Basil, some of us others, we always have at the end of our service a time of healing prayer. We call people up who are sick. How does it feel after just a month? After just a couple weeks, he's just worn down. And here's this man. Can't you empathize with this fellow? 38 years. He keeps coming back because he knows, this is the only place I can go. I want to come here. I hear there's healing here. But he keeps coming back. And what happens every time he tries to get in? Somebody in there. So it's kind of like a bad nightmare that you have, that you try to get somewhere and you can't. No, he could not be healed. He could not be healed by the waters under that portico or by that portico. It was limited. Again, for the people of God in Israel's time too, the law was limited in what it could do for the people of God. It was to be a guide. It was to show them forward to the Messiah, but it would not save them. There are a number of things in our life that we try to use to bring us wholeness in life. Look at this. Jesus comes up to him and knew he already had been in that condition for a long time. And he said to him, very simply, do you want to be made well? The original Greek there is even stronger. Do you want to be well? Do you want to be whole? Do you want to be totally restored? Think about it. Many of us just want to settle to be well. I know for the time I was under my virus, I just wanted to get well. I just wanted to get better. I just wanted to have some strength again. Jesus, when he brought Lazarus back from the tomb, He made him well. He gave him life again. He resuscitated him. But Lazarus would die again. Many of us want to settle for the little things, just to be made well, just to be happy in our lives. We think there are a number of things that we could try will make us happy and make us feel good. More money or more physical things or whatever will make us whole, but they won't. There's only one thing in all of creation that can make us whole, to make us back to what we were created to be in the garden in Genesis. Whole and perfect and truly happy and joyful. And that is the man who comes to this invalid. The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me." But Jesus, the man, the God-man, said, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made well. And he took up the bed and he walked. And that day was the Sabbath. God's rest brings the healing. God's resurrection that he has accomplished for all of us here brings the healing. Now I want to go back for just a moment and think back to this idea of the sheep, the sheep's gate. The sheep were brought, the lambs were brought before they were sacrificed in the worship of God to be purified. And the fathers of the church say that is a baptismal image. And that's where our healing starts. That's where resurrection starts. St. Paul has said, "Don't you know that all of you who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ? You have been buried with Christ in his death, and you have been risen with him. You all have been brought to the pool. You all have been touched by the resurrected Christ." But there's more to this story. And that's what's going to happen this next weekend. I want to talk for just a moment about this next weekend. Because our risen Lord is going to visit us in a special way. When the icon of St. Anne, the mother of our Lord, comes. And this icon is called a wonder-working icon. Healings have been attributed to this icon. It has wept. And I want to tell you first and foremost, I was from a Protestant background that did not believe in these kind of things, weeping icons or these signs. But I remember several years back, we were on the other side of the state still living, and there was a wonder-working icon that came to one of the parishes. And I remember going up to venerate and seeing the stream of myrrh coming down. So in that moment, my Lord, my God, like St. Thomas. To know that our Lord really does come, just like he did for this invalid man. It's a real physical healing to bring us whole, to make us whole, to make us as a community whole, so that we can then show this to people around. What did this healed man do at the very end of the story? It says he departed and he told the Jews Jesus had made him well. And that's the whole story in the book of Acts after the resurrection, that the church is going out and testifying to what she hears and what she sees. Now I want to invite you next weekend for all of us to come. To come to the miracle of the icon that will come. God is yet to know what miracle he will perform for us. God knows what your needs are. God knows you have your own invalid, whatever that invalidness is. And he wants to heal you from it. Let us come together and again worship and praise our risen Lord and receive the grace he will give us as he did to the invalid man. Christ is risen.
Truly he is risen.
Christos Anesti.
Christos Anesti.
Christ is risen.
Truly he is risen.